Just in the middle of the night, that's the way God works sometimes, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That it was just clear as day. Who am I? And I hadn't heard that song in several weeks or so probably, but we've been talking about with our leaders, and we brought it up several times here also about spiritual gifts, and we're going to be ministering on those the next few weeks because a lot of people are new, and we have a lot of new born-again believers here and people growing in the Lord, but, you know, so I think this leads right up to what God really wants to start out with. Who am I? And two of the most important things in our life is to understand who we are. And now, you know, before Christ, we thought we knew who we were, right?
Right.
We thought we had direction and guidance, and we were doing this, that, and the other. But who am I now that I am in Christ? And the second thing is, and who is He now in me? I believe those are the two most important things as Christians we need to know. We need to get right. We need to understand who He is in me, who I am in Him. Okay? So in that same mindset today, I thought that song just went right in with it. And you think about the lyrics and stuff in that song. It's not because of what?
What I've done.
What I've done.
That's right.
We're going to be in Ephesians 2 today. So you can turn your Bibles over there. But before, while you're doing that, I want to challenge, and I was talking to Melissa yesterday, and this is one of the things I want to ask you about. What is it, okay, that last part, whom shall I fear? I heard fear the last 3 weeks from different people several times brought out, you know, fear this, fear that. Well, the reason there's fear is because we don't really know who we are in Christ. We don't really understand the power of the Spirit that lives within us now. And as we get familiar with that and we start understanding who He is in us, then we don't have fear. You know, like David in the Psalms 23, he says what? Yea, though I walk through the what? The valley of the shadow of death, what?
I shall not fear.
I shall not fear. I fear not. So that same, guess what? Did David just wake up and just not have fear? No, he didn't. How did he learn to not fear? Somebody.
Faith in God.
Huh?
Faith in God.
Faith in God. Okay. What else?
He had to be taught.
He had to be taught. Right? Okay, what else maybe?
He had to learn by experience that God would protect him.
Absolutely.
He had to be trustworthy.
He had to learn. It has to be, it's not something that just happens. It's like what we talk about, Paul, as a new born again believer, a baby has to what? To grow up.
That's right.
It has to be fed, right? It has to grow and it has to mature. And so that's what happens in the body of Christ, because a lot of times, we don't really understand now that, well, okay, I believe.
That's right.
I believe, now what I do. Okay?
Right.
And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be learning about spiritual gifts and callings. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today, purpose and all these things. But, you know, there's a starting point. And so this is a question. Okay, if you had, and you may not know it right now, but I want you to write down this week, I really want you to pray about this, and I want you to ask yourself, what do I really want to do? Who do I really want to be from this moment on? There's people all up out in the business world who are doing jobs that are miserable.
That's right. That's right.
They're doing jobs because they're just doing jobs because they have to. What if God, what if we believe God that He does want to give us the desires of our heart, like the Word of God says? Now, it's not always exactly the things we want and when we want them, is it?
No, that's right.
But I want you to really search down deep and ask yourself, what do I want to do, what do I want to believe? And don't limit it, okay? So act like you're a millionaire, all right? Act like you're a millionaire. And because when you start learning who you are in Christ and Christ in you, all things are possible. Amen? So I want you to really challenge yourself this week and say, you know what? I always wanted to do this. From all the way back when I was a teenager, I had this desire. I had this want to, right? So really ask, and somebody might can say it right away. Is anybody there? Right now? Cara?
Mm-hmm. I want to save the Great Barrier Reef.
You what?
I want to save the Great Barrier Reef. I want to go with DC diving myself. I want to listen to that.
Okay. That's something you want to do, but I'm talking about what you want to be, you know. Okay, and that's good. That's the same mindset, though.
No, that's where you start.
Yeah, you start.
You start.
That's exactly right. You might, if you have a desire to do that, then who knows, there may be something, what's the, where you are a, you do that, you are a, your job is a reef fish, all those kind of things. What's the name of that?
Marine biologist.
That, yeah, see his smile come on your face. You know what I'm saying? But we limit God. We limit God because we get in circumstances, and before Christ, we just move into what we can do, okay, on our own. What if we're outside of the box and we just believe what the Word of God says, period?
That's right.
Because it says in there, that if we say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, what?
It's supposed to go.
It's supposed to go. Now, I've heard a story about the young man. Anybody ever heard that story about the young man who had this mountain and he, you know, he just believed God for that same thing and he prayed. That mountain's in the way. I want it gone. He prayed when he was little. Now, did it happen right away? No. But in the story, it goes on, but little by little. You know what? That whole mountain, they somebody bought it, they developed it, and moved it out of the way. So, you know, we limit God. We limit God. So I want you to write down, and I want you to just say, it may be so far-fetched that you're like, but it's not. Trust me, okay?
That's right.
Things are happening in my life, in our life, in our ministry right now. It's all God. I can just tell you that. Everything even here, it's all God. I can't do the things that God wants to do, but He can, okay? And so, the first thing I want to talk to you about, and I'm going to be short today, but it's I want to challenge you also in all of this to really hear from the Lord today in Ephesians 2:8. Through 10. Now look at this. For grace, we're starting in 8, excuse me. And everybody knows this scripture, okay, pretty much. They've heard it if you've been in church a little while. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, okay? It's the gift from God. He gives it to you. It's not nothing. And it goes on and it says, not as a result of works that anyone should boast. Why do you think Paul says that there?
That's right.
Because we're prideful.
That's right.
We're people that see, if we could work ourselves into the kingdom, if we could work for our salvation, guess what? It'd be all about me, right? It'd be all about look what I've done. But just like that song, not because of what I've done, but because of what you've done. We got to look at that same scripture in that same manner. Now here's where I'm getting to this in 10. We stop there usually, but it says, for we are His what?
Workmanship.
Created in Christ for the, one translation says, for the purpose of good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Father, I pray right now a continual anointing as we fill you in this place. I pray right now, God, you'll speak through me and in spite of me. Someone leaves here today with God hope. Someone leaves here today with assurance, God. And Father, I surrender right now to you this pulpit, this message. And God, I pray you go into every heart and every believer here today, God, that you would have your way. And Holy Spirit, we surrender to you, God. And we ask, Father, for divine intervention today in our minds, in our thoughts, in our emotions. And God, you would speak and clearly and with clarity in Jesus' name. Now, in Paul here, he's talking in this whole chapter, talking about being made alive in Christ. What does that mean, being made alive in Christ, somebody?
On fire,
yeah.
We were dead in our sins, so we had to be made alive.
Exactly. Everyone is born into what? Sin. And that's why I'm wanting to challenge you with this, thinking about what you wanted to do. Because if it's God's will, He'll do it. Okay?
That's right.
But there's something in the back of our mind where we're never content. We're never really in a place where we think we're comfortable a lot of times. How many really enjoy what they're doing right now, their work? Okay? About half the people in here. So that's why I really want to challenge you. Now, this scripture talks about this is why God sent Christ Jesus and what we are. As born-again believers, we need to understand that God has a plan for each and every one of us.
That's right.
He has a plan. You were created for God's own purpose. Now look at it. It says it right there. You were created for God's own purpose. God prepared each and every one of us so that we would what? Carry out His will to all mankind for those who might not know Him. Why? Because that's His work. You are His workmanship, it says. Created in Christ Jesus. Now that you've become a born-again believer, you start over, basically, in your life. But most people just in the church really just, they just like, well, I'm saved, and all that's good, and everything. And some get involved right away, okay? Some just start serving. But some sit in the church, and they really don't have a clue what I do now, right? And you may be there right now. Hang on. God wants to tell you. Hang on. God has a purpose and a plan for you. You are His workmanship. Look at your neighbor and say, you're His workmanship.
You're His workmanship.
Look at your other name and says, He has a purpose.
He has a purpose.
All right. John 10:10, Jesus said, now here's something. Jesus said this, and it's red letters, and He said, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy.
Amen.
You see, the thief is the one that will get you in your complacency. He'll get you in a place where you're miserable. He'll make you out. He'll try to steal your joy. He'll try to kill you. He'll try to destroy any relationship you have with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and also with other people who are Christ-minded,
that's
Christ-like-minded.
That's right.
He causes confusion. He causes grumbling and division.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, you have to understand He's always at work in everyone's life. Paul said, he had a thorn in the flesh, he said over there. He said, a messenger of Satan,
right.
He said, to buffet me. And so Paul himself knew exactly that one thing. We don't know what that was, but you can always bet it always comes here, in your mind. In your minds is where he will attack. But now here's the best. And this is all red letters. This is Jesus, okay? He said, but I have come that you can have life and have it more abundantly. You see, I'm sick and tired of seeing Christians walk around with their heads bowed down. Oh, gosh, I'm just this and that. And struggling through life, fear and anxieties and all this stuff. We need to rise up. Not I'm talking like the Falcons, but I'm talking about we need to rise up with the Holy Spirit and say, I can do all things through Christ. And we need to believe right here in our heart and right here in our mind and start placing, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen?
Amen.
So we need to understand Jesus said abundant life. Now, he's talking about it right now and eternal life.
That's right.
Eternal life. This is one thing where you get to the valley of the shadow of death, you'll fear no evil because you ain't worried about if you're going to die.
That's right.
You see, you ain't worried about that part of your life. And you have to understand that it's eternity. He come that we can have life more abundant right now and forevermore. Jeremiah 29 says this. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you." Anybody know the rest? Declares the Lord. Plans to what?
Prosper you and not to harm you.
And not to harm you. And to give you a hope and a future. Somebody needs some hope in here? Amen. Somebody needs to understand that God's future is hopeful. God's future is abundant life. You see, you've got to grab hold and get rid of the negative. Get rid of all those naysayers out of your life. Those ones that will tell you the worldly things that will make you doubt. That will make you confused. That if it's gossip, you need to cut it off. Cut it out at the root and say, no, I'm not going to talk about that person. If we can't say anything good. If we can't say anything good about the church, don't say anything.
Right.
It don't matter if it's this church, the one down the road, the pastor down the road. I'm going to tell you what, you start talking about ministers, the Bible just comes against that. He says, touch not my anointed in the Word of God. So there's an anointing, and each one of you has that anointing too. So you've got to understand, the next thing I want to bring out is you're chosen. You're chosen by God Almighty Himself. Now, the Scripture says in 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "But you are a chosen race."
That's right.
"A royal priesthood." Look at your neighbor and say, I'm royal.
Amen.
I'm royal. Amen.
I'm royal.
I'm a royal priesthood. "A holy nation. A people for God's own possession."
Amen.
For God's own possession, so that you may proclaim, here's the thing, the excellencies of Him who has called you out of the darkness into the marvelous light. You see, darkness reigns even within the believers, in the church. It's that same mentality. Nothing's going to change in my life. Nothing's going to... And you've got to break loose from that because Christ died for all of it.
That's right.
And He died because He was the light of the world. And now... You've got to understand He lives within you through the Holy Spirit, and you walk in the likeness of God. You walk in that same likeness, but God has chosen you Himself. Once we begin to walk in righteousness with God, we begin to understand that the blessed life that Jesus preached on the mountain, the greatest sermon ever preached and ever will be, the Beatitudes we use in our Celebrate Recovery, and we start understanding how we can be blessed when somebody persecutes us, how we can be blessed when somebody's mourning. You can still understand these principles when you begin to understand that God Himself has chosen you and He's created you and has a purpose for you. You see, we're blessed no matter what situation we're facing. We might be facing... no job,
yeah.
No money, all these things is happening in their life. But can I tell you, it happens to everybody.
That's right.
It happens to everybody.
Yeah.
It says it rains on the just and the unjust alike. It doesn't matter if you're Billy Graham. It doesn't matter, if you're Trella. It doesn't matter if you're Dante. We're all going through stuff. We have stuff in our life. You see, God ain't concerned about what you're going through right now. He's concerned about your heart and where you're going to believe Him for the next step in your life.
That's right.
And the next thing in your life. You've got to step out of the adversity in faith and begin to trust Him. And you've got to understand that He has chosen you Himself. Matthew 22:14 says, "For many are called, but few are chosen."
Yeah.
What does that mean? Somebody. In other words, here it is. No quick answer, so I'm going to tell you. It says, God calls everybody.
That's right.
None should perish. It says he don't want nobody to go to hell. He wants all to come to understanding of what salvation means.
Yeah.
But it is a reality that not everybody will get it.
That's right.
Everybody will not respond and answer to the call of God. You're here for a reason, everyone in this room. You've already been called out by God. He's been calling at you, tugging on your heart for a long time. Some of you, a way long time. Like me, I was many years, over 20 years. But our hearts become calloused and hard.
Yeah.
And so we can't hear him. He said, come. You see, it ain't you. I know there's a lot that talks about we come to God. No, he chooses to come to you. That's what he does. He comes to you. And so that's what it means. But few are chosen. In other words, he already knows your heart. And he already knows. He's chosen you, but it's still free will and up to you to choose to serve him.
That's right.
Choose to answer the calling of God on your life. Everybody with me? Amen?
Amen.
1 Corinthians 1:27, we've got three or four scriptures here. But God has chosen I love this because I'm one of the foolish things. I know I am. He has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. What does that mean, that last part, somebody? Okay. He says, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, or one translation, confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong.
Yeah. So that means that the world constructs very elaborate structures which they think are wise. For instance, homosexuality is perfect and it's all right, etc. And they interweave one opinion with another. And it's really foolish.
They try to call it that it's all about love.
Mm.
They
try
to confuse.
But it's a very interwoven.
That God loves everyone.
Mm. Everybody who's educated has to believe this.
Amen. Good stuff. Who else? Somebody? Good stuff, Sue.
God likes to show his power through the things that are weak, like
that's right.
Our weaknesses.
Look at the Bible all the way through it. Good, Joe.
It's kind of like you can be educated but not have common sense. Go in there.
Listen, I've got several comments on, just recently from and I can say, I'm not going to say his name, but somebody telling a minister who's come here and we love and everything else, but, this is a control issue, I say, but he's like, okay, well, he ain't educated. Talking about me.
Coming to our church.
Wow. He isn't educated. Well, that's all right. You know what? That just drives me even more. It should drive you even more to trust God that he can move. Paul said it wasn't by education, didn't he?
Amen.
He said what? It was by the Holy Ghost. It's the power of the Holy Ghost you can get up and preach. It's the power of the Holy Ghost that you can get up in the face of the enemy and say, I will not be tempted. I will not be tempted. My God says, when you get this word in you, you're educated in everything you need in life. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God. So if I take that word with me, guess what? I'm educated.
That's right.
I'm educated. Amen.
Amen. Right.
So you've got to understand, but the foolish things of the world all throughout the Bible.
That's right.
David was the foolish thing. He's a little runny shepherd. And his whole brothers and all them big old strapping young dudes, and they thought they were the ones to be the king. They all lined up. And God had none told the prophet. He wanted that runny little boy on the backside over there watching the sheep. They all stood up. They was right. Yeah, I'm the one. I'm next to the line. Yep, I got this. But what did he do? He told the prophet, he said, that ain't the one. Where's the one? And it was David. Go get me David. Now, did David get it all right? No. He was messed up. On down, in even in his ministry, his calling. One thing David know of, and it says in the Bible that he was a man after God's own heart.
Right.
So you keep going after God, guess what? He'll keep anointing you. He'll still give you
right.
all the power you need to do anything that God has called you to do.
Amen.
Amen? Yeah. So you got to understand that today. Colossians 3:12 says, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. See, that's a heart thing right there. From the hard heart to this kind of heart, what he's saying right there. You see, it's like God, he talks in the Old Testament, like we're like the clay and the potter. He's like the potter and we're on the wheel. You ever see anybody sculpture, do pottery? It's a big lump of clay and it just, and then all of a sudden they take that thing and they start molding it and shaping it. Ooh, they lean it up there and it starts looking pretty. And next thing you know, it's a beautiful thing. But it don't just happen just like that, does it? Sometimes we got to smash that thing and start over. Some of you, that's where you're at. You went to church when you was young. You've been all in church. You know things. But the fact is, you start over. Don't see yourself short. God's going to complete what he said started. That's what he says in the Word of God. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, but we should always give thanks to God for you. This is Paul. He's given to the church in Thessalonica, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God has, here's that word, chosen you from the beginning, from salvation, through sanctification. Right? What is sanctification?
Continue cleaning.
Oh,
glory, glory, glory.
Yeah, there you go. It's a continual walk. It's a continual sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It's by the Holy Ghost power.
Amen.
And it's by faith. Just as we started through faith.
That's
saved
right.
by grace through faith.
Yeah.
2 Timothy 2:10. Paul talking in Timothy. And guess what? He's in prison. He's in prison. He says, for this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it, eternal glory. Glory to God. He's sitting in prison. And he's saying, whew, I'm still praying for my church. I'm still enduring with you through this hard time. Because there's no, you see, it's not our heart to always be pastors here. One day we know we're got to go on and be with the Lord so that this ministry keeps going though. Some of your kids may be pastors here. They may be, and that's the whole thing about finding your calling, finding that you are chosen. And you're, the next thing I want you to understand, the last thing, glory to God, you were not only created for a purpose, you were chosen for that purpose, and now God says, I have called you and chosen you to be set apart. Set apart. And here's a hard one for some of us. Bible says to be in the world, but not of the world. Well, it gets hard. It says if you're in the world and you're in the world, it says you don't really love the Lord. Now, I'm paraphrasing. That's what he's saying. There's something in your heart that ain't right when you still try to live in the world. So you got to understand what set apart means. Galatians 1:15, Paul says, but when God who has set me apart, he started off several of his books in this one thing about being set apart, even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, was pleased. You see, Paul isn't boasting here about he's better than anyone else.
That's right.
That's not what he's saying here. He's talking about because of Christ, he is set apart. And Galatians 6:14, he goes on, he says, but may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Mm-hmm. You've got to make a choice. Mm-hmm. Whom shall I be? Whom shall I be? Who am I in Christ? And he's called to set us apart. You still got to be in the world. But you don't have to act like the world.
That's right.
We all got jobs in the world. We got things. The world is part of our ministry. We're supposed to be the light of it. Mm-hmm. It says don't put your light up under the bushel, but put it up on the lampstand, it says. So let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Some of you have been in vacation Bible school when you was little.
That's right.
Romans 1:1, he starts out again. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus, of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Being set apart means that God specifically set you in this place today, in this time, in this period, and even in some of your struggles.
That's right.
Because unless you struggle in life, you know what an eagle's used in the Bible, right? We talk about the eagle, soar like wings of eagle in Isaiah and all that. Well, a mama eagle, when she has her baby, they hatch in her, in her nest. You know what she does?
She
feeds them a little bit. She gets them a little strong. You know, gets them up strong enough to get in their chest. But then you know what she does? Kicks them right out of the nest.
That's right.
And then they fly. They fly. Because, see, they'll never take that step. That's funny. They won't take the step. Some of you right now, God wants you to take a step out of your little comfort zone and trust Him in your calling, in your life. Now, it might be the simplest thing of coming and cleaning the toilet in the church. I don't know. It might be taking bread. It might be all the ministry opportunity that's already here. But then it might just be, again, on your work front. It might be that one person that needs to know how much God loves them. That you're sitting right beside in a cubicle.
Okay.
And they're playing secular music. But you all of a sudden, you put it over there on, whom shall I fear? Whom shall... You know, you've got it going on over there with a Christian song. Even some Christian rap. No matter what it is you like, God can honor it if He's in it. Amen?
Amen.
So, Galatians 1:15, Paul's talking about that. Galatians 6 and Romans. But you may say, well, Pastor, I don't feel like I can do this. Anybody there, I don't feel like I can do this. I've heard this over and over again. Guess what? You can't. When you're weak, He's what?
Strong.
That's right.
You can't do it. But you got to get it out of your mind that you can't do it. Because He can. It's Christ in you that can do it. It's not anything you can do. Because you will boast in it. Because you're coming right out of a heart thing that's calloused over and hard. And
right.
All these things of the past. And that's why we have Celebrate Recovery. We deal with all those things. And little by little, you're growing up in God. You're trusting God. He's healing you of the past hurts and bad habits and that's become hang-ups in your life. But the more you mature, the more you understand that God Himself is the one who will equip you. You say, I'm not educated. I would never thought 18 years ago I'd be up in front of people preaching, talking or anything. The only time I thought was at a party when I was drunk and I was trying to be the life of the party or whatever. Or, you know, that person that... But looking back on all that, there was still a personality there, but there wasn't a born-again spirit there. Now the born-again spirit in me, you know, I can do all things. I can preach. I can do all these things. So each and every one of you need to understand that. Ephesians 4 says this, there's one body, one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. Here it is, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Paul said this to Timothy, so that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So you can't use that as a cop-out anymore. We got to understand, if he's called us, he's chosen us, he wants us to be set apart, and now he wants us to walk in our calling and find our way. So,
amen.
When God calls you out of the darkness into Jesus, when God calls you to walk in the likeness of Christ, he gives us the Holy Spirit to empower us to do all things. And he's also given us the Word. And I tell the guys in jail all the time, some of them say, well, I just don't understand the Bible. I say, well, I used to not understand it either. Because I was raised on King James, and I don't know about y'all, but I don't live in 1611, and the thus thous and the these kind of shook me up a little bit, okay? And I start trying to read it, and I'm like, thus this, down this, and I'm like, wait a minute, I'm a country boy. And so God speaks country boy to me, okay? Sometimes it's on a lawnmower, sometimes it's wake up in the bed, whatever it is, he comes to us. And he speaks to us the way we can understand him.
That's right.
You know, he's not in 1611. So you've got to have the Word that you can understand. And you know, use different translations.
That's right.
You know, New American Standard is what I learned out of. I remember, this is funny, God told me to go to this church up here and where I met Susan, I met my wife Penny, and I'm... You know, all I know is that God's called me to ministry and, you know, and all this stuff. And I had a Bible about that big. Big old Bible. I went out and bought the biggest Bible I could get, Brother Bill. And it's King James Study Bible.
Oh God.
And it was, you know, a good Bible, all that, but it was still that little bit I couldn't understand. And I walked into that church. I had a suit. I had one suit. Went and got it. Walked in there. I'm like a preacher. Yeah, but since that time,
that's right. You,
God has shown me all the politics of church and all the things that are man-made. It's like, man, you can preach in shorts, you can preach in flip-flops,
that's
Jesus
right.
did, and you can do whatever. And God meets us, he equips us right where we're at. So we got to get all this religious mindset out of all of it and trust God for whatever it is he's called you and chosen you to do and be. And that's what in the next few weeks we're going to be talking about in our spiritual gifts, mastering those gifts. How do you master those gifts and the callings? And, you know, we're not going to get hung up in speaking in tongues and the prophecy and all that, but listen, it's all in the Bible. It's real. We believe in the entirety of the Bible from the beginning to end. You know, someone will take some out and throw it out with a baby in the bathwater, but that's not the way God intended it to be. So we got to understand that. And God has really given us a core, great group of people. Dr. D. Ortega, I mean, Penny went to college, you know, studied these things and all. She's got a great teaching that we're going to have coming up on the, what's the name of it, Pastor James, you talked about?
Oh, Understanding How People Misunderstand You.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's very good. Very good. So we got that coming up. But in closing, I want to read you John 14. And then we're going to close and pray. Let me get a drink. John 14. First of all, it starts out, Jesus is promising another, the helper. Who's that?
The Holy Spirit.
He's
says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Mm-hmm. The Spirit of truth. Mm-hmm. Now remember, John 10:10, the Spirit of truth. Truth is what sets you free, not the voices that tell you you can do this, you can do, you should. That you have to discern that and learn that. That's a part of a gift. But anyway, so the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Who's Jesus talking to here? Huh?
Us,
right? At that time, who's he talking to them? The disciples. And what he told them, he didn't go and say, go do this, go do that. He said, go and what? Go and pray and go to the, and seek the Holy Spirit's what he's saying. But he also said, go and make disciples, teaching them, baptizing them, and teach them. And so that's what we're about here, making disciples, and God's going to do that with you. Disciple, disciple. We look at it as, oh, disciple. It's someone who wants to follow Christ.
That's right.
That's what it is in a nutshell, okay? And it goes on, he's talking about the indwelling of the Father and the Son, because you need to get this now. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. So he's telling his disciples, he knows he's fixing to be crucified. He's fixing to go to the Father and will see me no more. But you will see me. Now how's that? Because I live, you will live also. Because I live, you'll live also. At that day you will know that I am my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. How's he going to manifest himself to him? And he's in heaven through the Holy Spirit, through the heart.
Amen.
That's right. So not only is it important to know who you are, but to know who he is in you. That's why the scripture, I read this. The Trinity's hard for people because it's outside, it's a worldly thought that, wait a minute, that can't be,
right?
But in the spirit realm, it's like, I get it. I get it. I'm the Father of one, and I'm in the Father in you. You see, in the Holy Spirit, John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Whoa. What does that mean?
That's right.
Huh?
They get bad out.
You ever do any pruning?
Yep.
You got to cut that bad off. Why? Because it sucks just enough of the juice to where the rest don't get it. Don't get as much, okay? While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. If you ever do any gardening, that's what you do. You cut it back.
That's right.
You cut it back, and then guess what? It'll grow double shoots.
That's right.
It'll come out and flourish. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withered. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, here it is, and it will be given and done to you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. As my Father has loved me, I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in his love, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. How many want joy in their life? My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. You are my friends if you do what I command. Look at your neighbor and say, you're Jesus' friend.
Amen. Amen.
I no longer call you servant, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you my friend. For everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Here he's saying it again. This is my command. Love one another. Love each other. The next chapter is talking about the world hates the disciples. Separating ourselves from the world. It's not easy. But it goes on and says in 19, if you belong to the world, if you would love you as its own, as it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. You may be hated. You may be talked about. From other Christians even.
Amen.
Pastors even. But you can't worry about all that. If what he's saying, if you're in me and I'm in you, don't worry about all that. Don't let it get you twisted up. Even if somebody talks to you in church and things don't happen right. Listen, I won't get it right all the time. I can guarantee you. Penny won't get it right all the time. We're going to mess up, but we're just like y'all. But the Christ in us, we can repent. We had a leadership meeting and some things we needed to get straight, and some of the things is that we wasn't doing everything right, but that's okay. We're sorry. We repented. And that's humility, learning to say, you know, I don't get it all right, but
that's
I know
right.
the one that does.
That's right.
So today, I want you to leave here with a hope, and I want you to leave here knowing and asking yourself that question, who am I this week? Who am I now that I'm in Christ? I guarantee it's a bigger plan than you can even imagine. There's so much God has for you, and he's chosen you specifically. It says in his word. You heard it. Now, as we close here, and I'm going to pray, has anybody got anything that they would love to share or want to share that maybe through the message today that they got? Or
yes.